This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Every week on the Moth Podcast, we share stories that are funny, strange, heartbreaking, and above all, true.
I myself have been married for 56 years. Unfortunately, to four different women.
It turns out the people I was looking for all my life is what you people would call nerds.
Follow and listen to The Moth on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Let's head to the phone lines right now to be joined by CJ Moore, who covers college basketball for The Athletic. We've got two big stories. Missouri has a very important game coming up against Alabama in a few hours. CJ did a fantastic story on Dennis Gates. We'll also talk about Kansas as they got the brakes beat off them last night by BYU. CJ, man, happy to have you join us on the show today, man. We appreciate you.
Hey, thanks, Carrington. How are you doing?
Doing great, man. If we just had to start with this, what have you noticed is the biggest problem with this year's KU team?
I think it starts with roster construction. I think we're used to seeing Kansas have pros, and they don't have any pros. They don't have enough shooting. They don't have enough defensively, their numbers are good, but I don't think this is actually a good defensive team. I think it's kind of a tease. I think they have some good defensive pieces, and they just – they don't have an identity. I mean, I think usually with Bill Self teams, like, they have an identity, and I'm not sure this one has figured one out yet. And right now it doesn't seem like they really like playing with each other that much. So it's all come together to just kind of create this scenario where something like last night could happen.
Where do you think that the roster construction has gone wrong? Because I said this to my producer. I said this from the very beginning of the season. I said, I think it's going to be really tough to beat people at a high level consistently if your best player can't guard people. Just watching Hunter Dickinson, it was obvious sort of what teams would do defensively. Try to isolate him, put him in pick and roll situations, and you could take advantage of KU's best player. And I think as the season has kind of progressed, teams have maybe attacked him in a way. I also am looking at DeJuan Harrison. I'm looking at KJ Adams, just two players that to me just haven't progressed a lot over the last couple of seasons. From a roster construction standpoint, where do you think it went wrong with this team?
I think they've just whiffed in the portal for two straight years, and you can't do that and continue to compete at a really, really high level. Like sometimes it's a little bit luck, sometimes it's evaluation. Like, I'll give you an example of a year ago. They get Nick Timberlake, right? And do you know who they beat out for Nick Timberlake? They beat out UConn. UConn really wanted Nick Timberlake. And instead of Nick Timberlake, UConn got, I did a freaking story on him, but my brain's gone.
I feel like somebody who was certainly a lot better than Nick Timberlake.
Yeah. They got Cam Spencer. There you go. They got Cam Spencer, who was a huge, huge part of their national championship run. Like, they don't win the national title if Cam Spencer is Nick Timberlake. And, you know, sometimes it's just like luck. Like, if UConn gets Nick Timberlake and Kansas gets somebody else, maybe it works out last year. But, you know, I just don't think they've done a very good job of evaluating guys that fit Bill. Like, you hate to pick on them, but like, if you go down the list, like, AJ Storr is kind of a selfish player, shoot first guy that doesn't really guard, doesn't fit self. I don't think that Storr you know, is not the level of defender that, or sorry, not Storr, Mayo is not the level of defender that we've seen on past teams for Bill Self. Ryland Griffin athletically is a little bit lacking and, you know, defensively hasn't been very good. And he shot the ball at a decent rate, but maybe not as, you know, not as good, not good enough to like justify him playing starter level minutes. So you go back a couple of years ago when they had KJ and they had DeJuan starting on a team that was a one seed, but around them were three pros. You know, they had Grady Dick, they had Jalen Wilson. And, you know, at that point, Kevin McCollar was, you know, looked like a pro. Injuries have kind of derailed his career, but he did get drafted. So those are NBA players. I don't know that there's an NBA player on this roster.
Right now, we're talking to CJ Moore, trying to figure out what's going on with the Jayhawks. You mentioned Bill Self. And I think it's more than just the name, image, and likeness part. Like, sure, I like to poke fun that not everybody has Adidas money, but Kansas still has more resources and is willing to outbid themselves for the players that they want. But I do wonder with Bill, when he's had his most success, it's been with guys that he's had 2 to 4 years in the program. Mm-hmm. I do wonder if now in this new era of the transfer portal, where there are more microwave rosters, where you got to try to fit 5, 6 guys in a very short period of time and sort of turn and burn. I do wonder if his style fits the modern era and modern style of how you win in college basketball.
It's interesting because I think he's in this spot where like he wants to fix it so fast. He wants to put it in the microwave and make it work. And, you know, they're going to flip the roster again, probably this next cycle. But you're right. Like what he's always done well is one with guys that have been around for a few years. And there are places that are doing that. Like Iowa State, while they have hit the portal, like they're trying to maybe get a little bit away from the portal, and they're trying to get guys that they and he tries to get guys. TJ tries to get guys that he can have for at least a couple of years. Like they're not on their last year when he does get portal guys. Purdue, Marquette, like those are programs that aren't really taking transfers, and they're doing it with their own guys and they're developing. Like you still can do it in this era that way, but you have to be very, very patient and you have to really try to go, you know, go through, get the high school guys or get portal guys that have several years left. And I think when something goes wrong for Bill, like he just wants to fix it right away. And maybe what's the right fix is trying to like, okay, maybe we tear it down to the tear it down basically and try to build this up with young guys. Cause if you go back, like if you want to, you know, go back in time, like there's some decisions they probably wish they would have made. Like maybe you don't take Hunter Dickinson, you just stick with Zubi Ejiofor and Ernest Udeh, because Zubi Ejiofor is a really, really, really good college player for St. John's right now. Like he's a huge part of St. John's being awesome. Ernest hasn't quite developed like it maybe looked like he was going to, but Zubi has. So there you go. There, you know, there you got a center who you can throw it into and he can guard, and they're a lot better off. They had the kid that went to Alabama. It's a freshman there this year, LeBaron Filon. They had him committed. LeBaron Filon would probably be the best guard on this team, but I think they decided they wanted transfers. They decided they wanted some older guys, and you know they passed on Filon, and he's had a great season at Alabama and is super fast and like it would be a difference maker on this team. So I think there's been the processes are just a little bit broken right now, and I think they got to fix that.
CJ, March Madness is right around the corner, and obviously there are some things that are off-season issues, but there's still a handful of Big 12 games to go in the NCAA tournament. Do you think it's fixable for KU? Can they get themselves back on track? Because one thing I never thought I would say watching KU is this team doesn't look prepared. This team looks poorly coached. And and what I've seen from KU in their last two games against Utah and BYU, they look poorly coached and underprepared for these games.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's just kind of everything coming together at the right time to make it look that way. You know, there are games where they have played well. Obviously, like the Houston game is about as well as they can play, and they really have to lean into like their defense, and they really have to be able to execute a game plan to like perfection because the margins are slim. But yeah, they can look much better than they looked the other day, but the ceiling is not that high. Like, I mean, you know, they're desperate when they're starting Hunter, Flory and KJ all together. It's like those guys were all on top of each other last night. Like there's no way that lineup can work. So, but you know, he's trying to play the guys that he can actually like execute what he thinks he wants. But I have a hard time seeing them like really, really pull this together. Just cause I just, you know, usually they've got pieces that, at some point, if they get it, like a Kelly Oubre, it took him a while, but eventually he got it. You know, AJ Storr is not Kelly Oubre.
Right now, we're talking to CJ Moore here for a few more minutes, talking about what's going wrong with the Jayhawks. CJ, if I'd asked you, let's say a decade ago, to tell me who the blue blood programs are in college basketball, you would have said Duke, Kansas, Kentucky, North Carolina, and Villanova. Villanova's coach quit because of the current rules of college basketball. North Carolina's coach quit because of the current rules. Duke's coach, the exact same things. Kentucky's coach has had a tough time, I think, transitioning to a more modern style and modern era of basketball. Could you see a scenario at some point in the next, let's say, 18 to 24 months where you and I just look up and Bill says, I can't do this anymore. I have won as many games as anybody has won. I've won national championships. I've won Final Fours. I've dominated a conference. I'm already in the Basketball Hall of Fame. Could Bill be the next coach to retire early because the game is changing so rapidly?
I don't think so. I don't think he minds the changes that much. I think that, and I don't see Bill Self being willing to go out like this. So it would just surprise me if he were to just step away and be like, it's passed me by. You know, I can't coach in this era. I don't think the way the rules are right now, he really minds. I think he just, you know, he has to go get the right guys. And he needs his, like, you remember when Roy Williams in the, I don't know if you're old enough or not, Karen, you probably are. In the late 90s, like, Roy was getting burnt out, and he didn't have very good teams, and he got his Kirk Heinrich, Nick Collison, Drew Gooden class, and it fixed everything, and it, like, re-energized him. Bill needs that class. Like, Bill, hopefully that's the class for him next year. He needs that to happen right now because I do think he's, like, I think these teams have maybe worn him out a little bit because it's frustrated him that he hasn't won at the level he's used to winning, but I don't see him going out like this.
So a couple of, I guess, last weekend, maybe more specifically, CBS and the NCAA put out what the top 16 seeds would look like. KU was one of those top 16 seeds. They were a 4 seed. They've lost 2 games since then and haven't really been competitive in those 2 games. If I set the over-under right now at 5.5 for KU seeds in the NCAA tournament, are you taking the over or the under on 5.5?
Probably the over. I'll bet they end up at like a 6.
That's not a KU team that I'm used to.
Is that the under?
Yeah. No,
am I doing it wrong?
No, I definitely got what you meant. That's just not the KU that I'm used to. Like, in my lifetime, I think they've been lower than a 4 seed, what, 1, maybe 2 times? That's not the KU basketball that I grew up on.
Yeah, 2000 was the last time they were less than a 4 seed, which were worse than a 4 seed, which is just a wild run. Like, that's just insane.
CJ, I'll get you out of here with this. You recently went to Columbia to sit down with Missouri and their program. What was your biggest takeaway? What did you notice?
You cut out there for a second. Were you talking about Mizzou?
Yeah, no, I was. You recently wrote a story for The Athletic about Missouri. What was your biggest takeaway from heading down there?
Just that, like, it's pretty incredible that Dennis Gates didn't lose his damn mind last year. And they kind of, he kept it together, that he kept that core group of guys and he brought them back, and has been able to win with them. And I think they've done a pretty good job, like, of finding guys in the portal that fit the guys they had. It's kind of the opposite of what you're seeing at Kansas. Like, they've hit on the portal. Mark Mitchell has been a great fit for them. You know, the guard they got out of Iowa, Perkins has been really, really good fit for those guys. So, I just think that they built it pretty wisely. And the fact that, like, he didn't lose a damn mind last year when they weren't winning the game, and, kind of stayed confident. Like, he is one of the most confident people, self-confidence I've ever come across. Like, you know, if you lose go 0-18 in the SEC, I feel like if it were me and you coaching those teams, like, we're going to really question what our processes, what we're doing. And I don't think he did. And he just kind of stuck to his guns and felt like he was going to get it right. And he did.
Now looking back at it, and maybe this is me just making excuses because I'm a Missouri fan, that team I don't think was maybe poorly built. They just had everything that could go wrong last year went wrong. I mean, they have kid that now this year that's at Wisconsin that's going to be a first-team All-American. He was on Missouri last year. He just didn't play. He was hurt. Mm-hmm. Caleb Grill was on last year's team. Like, there was a core where maybe that team doesn't make the NCAA tournament, but there is no reason for that team to lose every game the way that they did in conference play. They just got hit with every single hurdle last year.
Absolutely. I mean, if, looking back, like, I don't think their front court was going to be very good, even if they stayed healthy. But I do think on the perimeter they had some weapons and would have won some games. That, you know, maybe an NIT team. I'm not sure they were an NCAA tournament team. But man, the way he's playing at Wisconsin, like, he's been awesome. I'm not sure that they had any idea that John Tonji could be this good. But, you know, they had some, at least enough confidence to pay him a decent amount in NIL and bring him from Colorado State. And, you know, if that guy that's playing for Wisconsin right now showed up last year in Columbia, it might have given him a shot to make the NCAA tournament because he's been freaking fantastic.
Maybe it's just a Missouri fan in me, and I certainly think you'll understand that this just comes honestly. You know, I haven't had a lot of reasons to think otherwise. I think that there's probably 4 or 6 teams that they are favorites heading into it. Duke, Florida, Auburn, Alabama, teams that you think can realistically win this thing. And then there's a gap of about, I would say, 15 to 20 teams that they can beat just about anybody. And if they get the right draw, they can make a deep run in the NCAA tournament. And it feels to me that's where Missouri is. This is not a perfect team by any means, but they do have a lot of the things you would need to be able to make a run deep in March.
Yeah, no, I'm with you. I mean, it will depend on matchups and that kind of thing. But, you know, like, Florida is one of those elite teams, and they won on their home floor. I think a lot of it will come down to, like, how good Anthony Robinson do you get? You know, what's Mark Mitchell playing like in the tournament? And do Bates and Grill, like, are they hitting shots? But, you know, if those things all align, you could find yourself in San Antonio. Crazier things have happened.
Last thing here, they have an important game coming up later today against Alabama. I'm picking them to win, of course. They have been one of the better home teams in the country. I think they can hang with Alabama offensively. I also think they'll get enough stops where they win like an 87-82 game later today against one of the better teams in the country. Who do you think wins tonight?
I mean, honestly, I think it's kind of a coin flip. Alabama coming off a loss, I think you'd rather have them coming off a win, probably. I'm not sure Alabama loses 2 straight, so I'll say Alabama wins like a 3-point game, if I'm being honest. But I wouldn't be shocked at all to see Missouri win that game. I think Missouri's got like a 45% chance to win that game.
CJ, we've had such a good conversation. That's how we're going to end it. You couldn't lie to me? You couldn't be like, oh, man, you're right.
I'll lie. Yeah. The Tigers win by 15. Probably.
You know what? That's what I like to hear. CJ Moore, he does fantastic work for The Athletic. Be sure to check it out. He recently went down to Columbia to spend the day with Dennis Gates. A really good article talking a little Mizzou, a little KU, getting you ready as we are right around the corner for March Madness. CJ, great stuff, man. I appreciate you.
Thank you. Bye-bye.